there, I'm Michael Lynch. Deciding whom to nominate as your enduring power of attorney is as important as making a will. A power of attorney, or POA as they're sometimes called, allows that person to make decisions for you, and in some cases they can even act on your behalf when you're unable to make decisions for yourself. But as Mary Amarina from Victoria State Trustees explains, there are three types of power of attorney.
There's enduring power of attorney financial, enduring power of attorney medical, and enduring power of attorney guardianship, which is sometimes known as an appointment of an enduring guardian. All of those three powers of attorney have common features. They're all a legal document, and they're made by a person to authorise someone else to make decisions on their behalf if they can't make those decisions for themselves because of perhaps physical disability. Might be that they know that they're likely to suffer in the near future with a disabling mental disability, you know, people who are, they may have been diagnosed with early stage Alzheimer's or early stage dementia. They're still able to make decisions for themselves at this stage, but they know that their mental faculties are starting to fade. The key features of those powers of attorney are that they remain valid until you pass away. You can revoke them at any time, but you do have to have the capacity to be able to do that. So if you do lose that ability to make decisions for yourself, you can't revoke them. And the final thing is that they are governed by the Victorian Civil and Administrative Tribunal, who can make decisions to vary, suspend or revoke them at some stage.
Obviously some very important ones there. I guess one of the most important is the medical.
Correct. A medical power of attorney is, again, as I said, a legal document, and in this instance, it appoints a person known as an agent to make decisions about medical treatment. The key features of a medical power of attorney are that it begins only when you can't make decisions for yourself. Your agent can consent to some medical procedures, but not all. You can appoint an alternative agent, so you can say, I appoint this person in the first instance, but as an alternative, someone else. And also, your medical practitioners have a say in the kind of decisions that an agent under a medical power of attorney can make. So it's just not carte blanche to make decisions about either providing treatment or withholding treatment.
Are there any instances where a decision of an enduring power of attorney comes in conflict with ethical matters or ethical issues?
I do know that there are sometimes questions between, say, family members and the agent who holds the medical power of attorney. So it's more a conflict around what those two groups may think is appropriate as far as treatment is concerned. And as I say, medical practitioners also have a large say in determining the appropriateness or otherwise of proposed treatment. So that's why you need to think long and hard about who's going to hold that power. It needs to be someone that you trust to make those type of decisions for you when you can't do that yourself, whilst there may be pressure from other people. So you really need to be very careful about who you appoint, and you also need to have conversation with that person about what your wishes would be in certain circumstances. So it is a very powerful, powerful document, and of course it comes into play when you can't make those decisions for yourself. So once it's there, it's very difficult unless you go to the VCAT to have that agent removed.
Yeah, I mean, the reason I asked you that was because obviously there is a sensitive issue, very sensitive issue, but important one of organ donation, for instance.
Yeah. And certainly organ donation should be treated separately. We all know around organ donation that it is very, very important. And really, my advice to people is don't leave that to somebody else, that kind of decision. Make that decision. You've obviously got a view on it. Make that decision whilst you're alive so that you're not putting your family or your medical agent, perhaps, in the position where they have to make that decision. If you've already decided yourself and you want to be a donor, then make sure you fill out the paperwork before you get to a position where someone else is left to make the decision for you. If you don't want to be a donor, make sure that you let more than just your medical agent know, that you let your family know as well, and your reasons for making that decision.
Talk to us a little bit about how enduring power of attorney affects guardianship.
Yes, people get confused around all of these powers of attorney. The enduring power of attorney guardianship is the one that allows people to make day-to-day decisions around the person's lifestyle. So they can decide things, again, it's only when that person can't decide for themselves, and it's things like where someone should live. a decision around that. Sometimes, again, you might have different views within a family about what's the best type of accommodation for an elderly parent who can't make that decision for themselves. An attorney under an enduring power of attorney can make that decision. Also things around, and people are surprised by this, but can a person work? It might be some kind of volunteer work. It might be some sort of work that's done within a facility. Certainly the person holding enduring power of attorney guardianship can make decisions around that as well. So they're lifestyle decisions as distinct from medical treatment decisions and as distinct from financial or legal decisions.
And of course the financial one's a very important consideration as well, isn't it?
The financial one is probably the key. Certainly the other two are equally important, but the financial one is the one that everybody needs, because the financial one is about making legal and financial decisions for someone when they're incapable of doing so for themselves. Again, it comes into play when a person can't do that for themselves. You can make these powers of attorney, also certainly the financial and legal one, you can have that come into play whilst you're still able to make decisions. You can have a power of attorney that is active even when you have the capacity to make the decisions for yourself. You might want to have someone looking after some aspect of your affairs, even though you are legally perfectly capable of doing that yourself. There may well be good reason for that. You may be sick, you may be out of the country and you need someone to be able to make legal and financial decisions for you whilst you are overseas. So you can, in making this document, lay down conditions as regards when it comes into play. So this one is not just when you're unable to make the decisions for yourself. But certainly it's important to have that in place should you ever be in that position that you've had an accident, for example, or you're suffering from a debilitating illness that comes upon you very quickly. Sometimes these kinds of illnesses, brain tumours and things, a snap of the finger and so very, very important. They can do everything you can do. So someone holding a enduring power of attorney financial can withdraw money from your bank account to pay your bills. They can sell your property. They can purchase property on your behalf. They can act as your representative in legal disputes, lodge tax returns, collect your pension. They can do absolutely everything that you can do.
What can't they do?
They can't sign a will for you. They can't sign a marriage certificate on your behalf. They can't make decisions around lifestyle, because that's the responsibility of whoever you've appointed to make those decisions. They can't make medical decisions. As we've seen, there are other powers of attorney that allow others to make those types of decisions. They certainly can't use your money and your assets for their own purposes. And as I said before, it's the responsibility of the person holding your enduring power of attorney guardianship to make decisions around work. One of the key things we've found at State Trustees around these enduring powers of attorney is most of us would have seen, heard, read, unfortunately, about the prevalence of elder abuse in our society at the current time, and it's always been a problem, but it just seems to be something that people are finally fronting into. Having a enduring power of attorney financial lessens the risk of family and friends being able to involve themselves in financial abuse of the elderly. Often that abuse is not purposeful. It's not someone sitting back and saying, I am going to steal from my mum or my dad. Often people are placed in a position where they're able to do that. They themselves are in financial difficulty, and it's easy enough to access mum's bank account, or it's easy enough to convince mum that it's appropriate for her to give me the money I need to pay my children's school fees. Having a power of attorney in place and having an appropriate person appointed as your attorney absolutely lessens the risk of that occurring.
Is an attorney and an executor the same thing?
No, they're not. And a lot of people get confused by this. An attorney looks after your affairs until such time as you pass away. Their power and authority finishes at that point, and then your executor takes over. So the executor is the person appointed under your will to continuing looking after your affairs after you've passed away and making sure that all your assets are distributed as you would like them to be.
Tell me roughly what the benefits are, Mary, of having State Trustees as your attorney.
Well, we talked a moment ago around financial elder abuse, and I said that having an appropriate attorney goes a long way towards lessening the risk of that abuse occurring. But if you appoint one of your family members as your attorney, we've seen the kind of power that that document gives someone. They can access your bank account because they're holding that power of attorney. They can sell your property because they're holding that power of attorney. If you have an organisation like State Trustees, we are independent. We're government backed and we are not involved in family conflict. We're objective and we're permanent. So we're always there. We don't have those kind of family pressures that an individual would have. We're also in the fortunate position that what we can offer to you is the benefit of our experience because this is what we do. We manage people's legal and financial affairs day in, day out, and that's our role. So you're getting an expert. We've got legal advisors, we've got financial planners, we've got accountants. They're all on tap. So you're getting an expert service and you have that peace of mind of knowing that you have someone whose core business is looking after other people's legal and financial affairs.
I've been talking to Mary Amarino, and if you'd like to know more about enduring powers of attorney, please call State Trustees on 03 96 67 64 44 or go to statetrustees.com.au. I'm Michael Lynch, and this podcast has been a presentation of Tobin Brothers Funerals, Celebrating Lives. Thank you.